آل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
If I can add one more thing, since we have our leader tonight, anybody is feeling tired or you think your morning prayer is going to be rushed out, the door is open. We may have a long talking because we are missing something that we got him. Salamat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المكرمين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين من تراب الدم الفداء. The hastening and return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I would like to first and foremost congratulate all the brothers and sisters on the auspicious occasion of the birth of Mawla al-Muhsinin, Amir al-Muminin, Al-Yumn al-Talib, Salawatullah wa Salamu alayhi, that we have last Monday. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of the true followers, and not only the lovers of Amir al-Muminin, Salawatullah alayhi. We know that obviously, it's pretty obvious, but sometimes we forget, and that's why it's mentioned in the hadith, that follower is a pretty big title. Follower, Shia means follower. It's a big, pretty big title. I can't claim to be the follower of an Amir al-Mu'mineen easily. There's a story you might have heard from me, I'll repeat it for those who heard. I find it very beneficial to remind myself every once in a while of this, that a group of so-called Shia, as we call ourselves, had gone to Marw, where Imam Rida sallallahu alayhi was staying at. And when they entered the city, the first thing they did, they'd gone there to visit the Imam, so they went to his door and they knocked. Servant came to the door, asked, "Who is it?" He said, "Tell the Imam we are some of his Shia," which means followers. So he went in, told the Imam that the Imam said they can't come in. Second day, they went the same. Third day, same. Fourth day, until they wanted to leave. So the last day they were there, they again went and knocked, and when the servant came back to tell them that they cannot go in, they told him, "Could you let the Imam know that this is our last day? He came here to visit you. Why aren't we being allowed in?" So after hearing that, the Imam allowed them in. When they asked why this happened, he said, "Well, you claim to be the Shia, the follower. I don't see that. You're only muhib, lover of the Ahlulbayt. Lover, love is easy, you can have that love. Follower, it's a pretty good language." Anyway, I don't want to continue on the tangent. First of all, starting pretty late here, and this is, I think, the first time that I'm starting a lecture at 10:30. I don't know if anyone is ready to hear it more than 15 minutes here, but inshallah, let's see how we can do this. We said it's salawat. It is the holy month of Rajab. The month of Rajab is the beginning of a series of months that are considered very, very special in the Islamic calendar. It's a very great opportunity. The narrations that we have about what the Imams or the Holy Prophet used to do in his time is beyond what I can discuss here tonight. But the du'as, very special du'as, very special actions, especially fasting. You know, the month of Ramadan, which is the peak of this, the climax, and that's why the fasting is wajib. Okay, we know when something is very important, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it wajib. That's why the fast in the month of Ramadan has been made wajib, whereas the fast in Sha'ban and Rajab is not wajib. It's good, but it's not wajib. When you have that wajib, see that usually all the actions that we find, all of the responsibilities that we have in the Sharia, other than wajib, for those who like to, for those who have the ability, for those who want to progress further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes some preparatory steps, allows them some preparation so that they can make the most out of the wajib that is put there. Example, Salat. The prayer begins at what time? When do you start the prayer? What's the wajib part of it? You make the intention, you say Allahu Akbar. You say Allahu Akbar, the prayer is begun. That's the only thing that's wajib. You say Allahu Akbar, hamd surah, you go to ruku, subhanAllah, you get up, sujood. That's the wajib amount. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for those who want to benefit more, go to the masjid a little before the time. When you enter the masjid, there's two rakat mustahab prayer. When the time of prayer comes in, they start calling the adhan, you recite the adhan with them. The adhan itself is a preparation. Nawafil is put that for, except for the maghrib and isha, the nawafil are situated before the prayer. So all these are preparations. We see that same tangent on fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the holy month of Ramadan, that special month, it's wajib to fast, and Sha'ban, and before the Rajab, which we're in, is the month to begin preparations. Those who want to make the most of it, they start in this month. Now, one of the most important parts of what we need to do, please recite the salawat.
Salam ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I don't know why, but Islamic centers usually don't have good sound systems. We always have trouble with the mic system, with the speakers, the mic, the mixer, whatever. Recite another salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
The first step to take for any type of progress, as we find in the Holy Quran, is the step of tawbah, repentance. I want to talk about this a little bit. Because of the shortage of time, I want to see how much I can fit in on what I've prepared. What is the meaning of tawbah? What is the meaning of repentance? When we look at the Holy Quran to discover the meaning of repentance, where it's used, before getting to the Quran, what do we usually take repentance as? I mean, the meaning, if you look at in the dictionary, obviously, it means that one feels regretful of what they've done, the wrong deed that they've done. They feel regret in their heart, they ask for forgiveness. They feel sorry about it. This is repentance. However, when we look at the Holy Quran, we see that more than this definition applies to, obviously, to people, right? We do something wrong, we regret it, we ask for forgiveness, that's called tawbah, repentance, something pretty straightforward. But when we look at the Quran, we see that the word tawbah is used for Allah, I think, more than it is for the people. So many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nawwa tawwab al-rahim. Tawwab means the one who does tawbah a lot. We have in Surah Baqarah that says, وَأَنَا أَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. أَتُوب. I want to use the word, the equivalent, repent. I repent to them. So what is that supposed to mean? God repenting to us for what we did? Some have said that when it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawwab, that basically means He accepts the tawbah. He accepts the repentance of the people. This is called ta'ib in that way, and the person who does it a lot is considered tawwab. It's an easy way out, but if we look at the Quran, that also cannot be the proper definition of it. Why? Because we see in Surah Tawbah, verse 118, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I won't recite the beginning of the verse. It's about a battle. I don't want to get into that. At the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah does tawbah on them. I'll just translate it as that. لِيَتُوبُ, so that they repent. Where does the acceptance of repentance come? Before or after repentance? Obviously afterwards. If I haven't repented, what are you accepting from me? It's only after I repent that there's acceptance of repentance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I do tawbah on them so that they repent. That can't be the meaning of tawbah. When we look at the a little more precise scholars on this matter, we see in certain dictionaries, the word tawbah has been translated to turning back. Turning back. What does turning back mean? For us, what does it mean to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if we take that meaning of the word tawbah, going back to it, that means we moved away from it. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have any location that we moved away from Him to turn back to Him? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a face for us to look at that and turn away, turn back? What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to us or turns back? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk about spiritual things, things that deal with the spirit, with the soul, with intangible things, the only way to express it is through words that people are already using. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to create this new language that no one knows what it means. He's going to have to use the closest meanings and the words that express meanings that are closest to what He's trying to express. But there's no way to you to express that meaning exactly the way it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any body, unlike what some people, even some Muslims, believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any body. There's no physical aspect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no direction to move. By the way, in parentheses, I want to say, some of us, I mean, it's pretty easy to fall into this trap because we're used to the physical life of ours, the tangible things that we deal with. So we can easily fall into this trap that when we're facing the Qibla, we're facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're looking up, God is somewhere up there. I don't know how many of you think of that and think like that, but hopefully not many. That's not the way it is. The direction of Qibla, that house, is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. There's a house that we made for the people to worship towards. It's definitely not the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which, again, I don't want to get into this too much, is a pretty interesting question to ask a Wahhabi who tells us that you guys are worshipping clay. Why? Because you're putting your foreheads on clay and you're worshipping that. What are you guys facing when you pray? You're facing stones, aren't you? If this is shirk, then we're all shirk. Anyway, I don't know what answer they have for that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely does not have any direction. There is no direction, this way, that way. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Any direction you face, that is the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all of creation is His manifestation, and therefore, in a way, His face represents Him. Because that's what the face does, represents an individual. So what does it mean that we turn away from, we want to turn back towards someone that's not physical? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute perfect. In our life, we are supposed to be wayfarers. We are supposed to be walking up the ranks of perfection. When we become more and more perfect, when we achieve perfection, that is becoming more similar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute perfect. We are less and less perfect. The more we move up those ranks, we are considered moving closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what is meant. When we say the intention for your prayer needs to be qurbatan ila Allah. Of course, some people think that you're supposed to face the qibla and say, I'm praying 2 rakats of prayers for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's 4 rakats, and it's us, and this, whatever, Allahu Akbar. No, you don't have to pronounce that. Okay. Anyway, the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this. The good deeds that we do cause us to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. When we do something wrong, it changes our direction. We change course. We move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah would mean that we want to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning of our tawbah. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawbah mean? In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many times says, wa ana tawwab rahim, is it just accepting the tawbah? And what about this verse that I recited? That the tawbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before we actually repent. Let me explain this in a story. In a Quranic story. What was the first crime that was committed by humanity? Adam's son? Is that the first one? Anywhere by humanity.
Habil.
Abel and Cain? What about Adam himself? Adam himself, right? That was before Abel and Cain. The first story that we have, anyone in a way disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't want to get into the theological discussion of our belief in the infallibility of the prophets and how it could be that a prophet could commit a sin or disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that question comes up, we'll address that. But anyway, the fact is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that we told Adam, we said to the angels in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we told the angels that we are creating a representative on earth. The angels said, why do you want to create someone that's going to be shedding blood and corruption? We are glorifying you. What do you mean to create such a being? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, well, something you guys don't know. So he taught him some names, and he asked the angel, do you know those names? He said, we don't. I told Adam, you tell him what those names are. Whatever those names were, which I don't want to get into, the angels were convinced, okay, this is someone worth creating. After it was created with his wife, he was put into this garden they called the Garden of Eden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, don't eat from this plant, which apparently is wheat. Now, I don't know how they started chewing on wheat, but that's what the Mufassirin at least say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you can benefit in this garden as much as you want. You don't have to worry about food, you don't have to worry about clothing, everything is taken care of. Just don't get close to this one little. Shaitan goes to them, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا أَمِيلَكُمَا مِنَ النَّاسِحِينَ. I am trying to be advising you guys. I'm just trying to, I'm your friend. This is not even benefiting you. Eat from this. If you want to stay here, you're enjoying it, right? If you want to stay here forever, eat from this. Just stay here forever. So they took that one bite. Once they took that bite, that was it. They had to leave. They realized the party was over. They needed to search for clothing. So, naked. They needed to search for clothing. In that garden where they were, they didn't have to. Not that they were naked and they didn't realize that's a misunderstanding of the situation. No, they didn't have to worry about clothing. It was already taken care of. Like in paradise, we're not going to be worried about, okay, what am I going to sew today? Where do I need to go shop for clothes? You know, it's taken care of. Food is taken care of. Nobody has to prepare anything. Similar in that garden. So once they ate from that plant, that was all over. I'll read the verses that deal with this. This is where that whole concept of Tawbah of Adam comes into play. Says Allah this.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There's three places in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this event and the repentance of Adam and Eve. Before I go on, I just remembered something about Eve. Okay. You know the Christian ideology, their theology, they say it was Eve who first took it, that plant. And she was the one that caused Adam to take from that plant. And that's why the original sin is on women, this and that, and you know, that whole original sin thing they have. We don't have that in our religion. We don't believe that originally Christianity had that in it either. Okay. There is no such a thing. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single time says that they, the two of them, took from the plant, the two of them were guilty, the two of them repented, and so on and so forth. In Surah Baqarah, which is the first instance we find this whole story, verse 37, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk about repentance. Pay very close attention. He says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ وَالتَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Adam received and understood some words from his Lord, and Allah did tawbah on him. Allah is one who always does tawbah. This is supposed to be talking about tawbah of Adam. Recite this tawbah, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
It's supposed to be talking about the tawbah of Adam, but all it talks about is God giving Adam these words and Adam accepting them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing tawbah to Adam. Where's his tawbah? How is he forgiven based on what God did? Let me read another verse which is similar. In Surah Taha, which is the second time you find, sorry, the third time. The second time is in Surah Al-A'raf. We want to go with the order that we have the Holy Quran. But Surah Al-Araf is different. That's where we're going to find our answer. In Surah Taha, verse 122, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after talking about that whole incident of what happened, and they took from that plant, says, ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهُ وَهَدَى. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after he committed that sin, اجْتَبَاهُ, we chose him, he became a chosen. All of a sudden, you know, he's committed his sin in a way, and he's considered the chosen one. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهُ. Then he did tawbah unto Adam. وَهَدَى. And he guided him. So where is the tawbah of Adam? When we look at Surah Al-A'raf, we find some of those answers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf says, when he talks about this incident, says, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. Shaitan tricked them. فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Once they tasted the plant, their private parts were revealed to them. They saw that they are naked. وَطَفِقَ يَخْسِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا. They started searching for something to cover themselves. In وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ, the leaves of that garden. Then it says, وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةَ. Didn't I tell you not to eat from that? وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Didn't I tell you that he's your enemy? Don't listen to him. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Once they heard that, they said, O Lord, we have oppressed ourselves, and if you don't forgive us and be merciful on us, we are going to be of those who've lost everything they've had. This is where the first tawbah. Remember those two other verses? We had two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. Adam receives these words from God. It skips Adam's tawbah. It says, then we did tawbah unto him. أَلَمْ تَغَضَبَيْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. The author of Al-Mizan has a very interesting way to do this. I want to emphasize on this a bit, that for each tawbah that we have, for each repentance that we perform, there's two tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The returning. One before and one after. And this verse, it says, when they committed that sin, we told them, didn't I tell you not to think from this? I knew this was going to be the result. I told you, don't do this. Didn't I tell you Shaitan is your enemy? He reminded them. Once they heard that, these are the kalimat in fataba alayhi. These are the kalimat that talaqa Adam took. He was reminded of them. Once he heard that, he asked for repentance. Oh Allah, we have oppressed ourselves. We need your help. Once they did that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that repentance. Can you get any more merciful than that? A servant is created, a being is created out of nothing. You and I were nowhere. Sometimes we feel like, you know, when we think our illusions of what the existence is, we consider ourselves these little, you know, these little balloons that didn't have any air in, and God just blew some air into it and became us. We think we were something. God is just, you know, doing us a little favor, bringing us into existence. We were nothing, we are nothing, we will remain nothing except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Nothing. If you and I believe that we have anything of ourselves, we're wrong. That's not real. That's not true. That's an illusion. The fact is, we were nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates this being. For his own good, he is supposed to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He disobeys God. He turns away from him. God goes to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to us and reminds us. Says Allah, please. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to do the second tawbah is like, you know, if you have two friends that they break up, if you want that relationship to get back to normal, both sides have to come together, right? If only one individual out of the two friends wants to make up, the other one doesn't, it's not going to come together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He comes and wants to make up with you first. If we accept, we turn to Him, He opens arms. What I want to emphasize on a little more, all of this was the introduction to a very small but important point. In a few minutes, talk about this idea of the first tawbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first return. We have a concept of guidance and misguidance in the Holy Quran. I don't know how many of you have had this question in your mind, but the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is understandable by us. He guides whoever He wishes. But this is the difficult part. وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He misleads whoever He wishes. God misleads. How does He mislead? Why does He mislead? Too late, if one falls asleep, I can't expand on this too much. But have you ever thought of that? I used to always convince myself that no, that can't be right.
Yeah.
You know, God can't mislead. But no, it's a fact. It's a Quranic fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a number of times. يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Whoever He wishes, He will guide. Whoever He wishes, He will misguide. There's a misunderstanding about, there's two misunderstandings, there's two extremes here. One extreme is that no, He doesn't mislead. It's just, you gotta interpret that differently. That just does not work with logic. That's completely logical. There's gotta be another explanation. This is one extreme, one misunderstanding. The other misunderstanding is the Ash'ari mentality. That, yes, we pray and fast, whatever, but at any time, once you can just say, get out of here. I don't want to guide you, I want to mislead you. For no reason, you know, whatever He wishes, right? Whoever He wishes, He's going to guide. Whoever He wishes, He's going to misguide. Okay, so you do whatever you want, but if He doesn't like you, He won't like your face, or your gender, or your color, or whatever, and just your personality, whatever. This is also a misunderstanding. What that refers to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mankind with free will.
Free will.
the will to decide what he wants to do. When you do good, there's a good effect of that on the soul. How do we do good? What do we know? How do we know that something is good or bad? Have you ever thought of that? There's a lot of things we take for granted. How do we know something is good or bad? We get it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The guidance that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's this general guidance that He's given to all of us, innately, in fitrah, and externally, the prophets. All that's provided for people. If we act based on this guidance, He will give us a second type of guidance, which is internal. I don't know if it's happened to you before or not. Has it happened to you that you read a verse 50 times and then the 60th time, it all of a sudden clicks? Wait a second, this means something. You've heard of hadith 50 billion times. Every Muharram they repeat the same exact thing, and I'm 50 years old, and all of a sudden, wow, wait a second, this means something. Doors start to open. That's an internal guidance. What this internal guidance means, again, I don't have too much time to explain, but that's the way action and faith works. Based on the faith, that's based on the knowledge that you have. When you act, that faith becomes stronger. That's where I said the door is open. But if you don't act according to that, you know Islam says this is right. We hear that, we don't listen to it. That's when the doors start getting closed. That's when the doors start getting closed. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, Khatamallahu ala qulubihim wa ala absarihim. Their hearts and ears and eyes are completely shut. They just cannot get it. This system that He has created is, this is where He says, Yudhiruman, all of it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. Explaining that, if there's any time for questions even, maybe we can explain that a little further. Basically, very briefly, this is what it is. What I want to emphasize on about this concept of repentance is this guidance that is talked about here. I need to explain all of that for this purpose, that when we commit a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to us, whispers to us, reminds us, made a mistake here. We have two options, obviously. We either realize and we turn back, or we don't. If we don't, what happens? The whisper comes, we don't hear it. God forbid. The people in Karbala, they committed that crime. It's a pretty obvious crime. Anyone, I think, with a little bit of humanity would realize how great of a crime this is. I mean, I don't want to get into the details. You all know the details better than I do. But for some reason, they just didn't feel it. It didn't start like that. It doesn't start like that. The way it starts is that the first time you want to commit a sin, especially for the youth I'm speaking here, you start feeling internally that, I know that's bad, I don't want to do it. If you go ahead and do it, afterward God tries to come back and make up to us. Remind us, don't whisper, feel guilty about it, don't turn back. If you turn back the second time that happens, it's a little more difficult. You feel shaitan starts getting into us. You feel shaitan, you know, I just asked for forgiveness and I did it again. Oh no, He's not going to forgive me. You do it a second time, third time, fourth time, until We don't feel it anymore. We don't feel that sting. We don't feel that guilt inside us. That's when we've lost that guidance. That's where we close the doors of guidance to ourselves. Let's be very careful of that. One of the ways to be careful is these special opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us. The special months of the year. These are special months of cleansing. I may have gotten a lot of this filth on my heart where it doesn't see the light anymore. These special openings are there for us to take benefit from, to make use of. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us in this holy month to really recite this last verse as a reminder for myself first and for you. And we'll end with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem. In Surah Ali Imran, verses 53 and 54. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. It addresses the Prophet. Says, tell and say, announce, O my servants, those who have done israf, they have mistreated themselves. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never, ever feel hopeless of God's mercy. This is shaitan does this, brothers and sisters. Even if we've done the sin 50 times, we ask for forgiveness. If you feel shyness of asking for forgiveness, that shyness is not divine, that's shaitanic. The shyness to commit the sin is divine, but the shyness to repent is not divine. That is shaitanic. There's stories in the hadith that I won't get into that. Tell them that never ever lose their hope in God's mercy. I will forgive all sins. And he says, return to me, turn to your Lord. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to benefit from this month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to stay away from sin in the first place, and that if we do end up falling into sin, that he helps us get back up and continue on his path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give good health and long life to all our Maharaja, especially our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all, forgive our parents, and all those who have taught us the word in Islam of their sins. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.